prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away, they are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, in the evening it fades and withers. For we are consumed by your anger, by your wrath we are overwhelmed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days pass away under your wrath, our years come to an end like a sigh. The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80 if we are strong. Even then their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger? Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart. Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favour of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. O prosper the work of our hands. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And just let me read to you some verses from John chapter 6. Jesus has just spoken plainly about who he is, and not all are ready to receive his word, and many leave. Verse 66, because of this, many of Jesus' disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, do you also wish to go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Let me pray for us as we consider God's word. Father, we pray that you would teach us to number our days so that we might gain a wise heart. Reveal to us from Psalm 90 what you want to teach us, that we might consider and ponder this past year and in anticipation of the next. And we ask all this for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. You might like to have Psalm 90 open, and that way you can follow along. It's on page 476 of the Pew Bibles. Now, when Liz and I were on leave last year, around this time, we went to Church of Christ, and I heard Dave Driver preach on this psalm. Maybe Monty and Tina, you were there as well. Dave, I asked him to send me his sermon, and with that as a structure, I've gone and prepared this. Although he had it as one sermon, I've divided it into two parts. Teach us to number our days this week so that we might gain a wise heart next week. So it should, I hope, allow you time to think and to ponder what it means to number our days. Well, I had only been in Melbourne for a month or so before I was asked if I'd like to join a group to go on a hike. I thought, yep, I'm up for this. Sign me up. I know what I'm doing. I was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to go. And so I packed everything I thought that I needed, clothes, food, and so forth. But I quickly realized that the first stop we made for camp, that a few things were missing. I'd misunderstood what it was we were doing. I thought we would have one camp and we would walk out from there and back there each day and night. But actually we were hiking with all of our gear, all of our tents, from one camp for the night, next camp and so forth. So I wasn't prepared for that. I also realized I'd not brought enough food. And so I sheepishly had to ask everyone else if they could provide for me. We were not next to, we were nowhere near any corner shops or news agencies. I also realized I didn't quite have enough clothes. And while I didn't mind wearing clothes for 4 days straight, I'm not sure about the other 13 people I'd only really just met. It was a bit embarrassing and humbling, and we had a great time once I'd gone over my embarrassment and my lack of preparation. It was a real blessing, actually. It was a great way to start my time in Melbourne and meet people who were from around Melbourne in that space. It's easy for us to think that we're ready for something when we are not. Or sometimes we think we're ready for something and we just haven't stopped to really think about it properly. So as 2019 ends and 2020 is about to begin and life just keeps going forward, it's good for us to pause and reflect and consider Psalm 90, a psalm which does cause discomfort as we take on board what it actually tells us. It also brings us hope as we consider God and the time he has gifted us with. You'll see that Psalm 90, we're told, is a prayer by Moses. And as with many prayers in the Bible, we are invited to pray with the authors, to make sometimes their prayers our own. And this is certainly one of them. And we're told in verse 12 to number our days. Sit down and count the days of your life. For what purpose? That we may gain a heart of wisdom. So the more we spend pondering our days, the more we can expect God to help us to be wise. If we pay no attention to Psalm 90, we'll get no wisdom. But if we dwell in God's word, as we're being invited to, we will gain a wise heart. This passage will give us a perspective on ourselves, on our lives, and on God, and on where we are as we get ready for the year ahead. So tonight we're looking at why we need to number our days, and next week, Lord willing, what it means to have a heart of wisdom. So why do we need to number our days? We're given two reasons. Firstly, because this life is temporary. Now, this is really verses 5 to 11. We're told Moses wrote this psalm. He tells us we need to get this life in perspective, verse 5 and 6. Lord, you sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. Them, of course, refers to humanity. He goes on, in the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. So we are like grass that withers. We flourish, we blossom, we have flowery glory, but by the end of the day we dry up and wither. Many of us know this. As each year passes, our health declines, our back injuries get worse, our knees start to click a bit more than they used to. We feel rusty, if you like. Injuries take longer to heal. We see children bounce back from cuts and scabs, but for us it takes longer as each year goes past. We become frailer. We become more prone to injury. We are slowly decaying each day, however much we might not want to. And even our youthful health is deceptive, because even then, when the grass looks at its best, it's not long before the day ends. So even when you or I were at our fittest and healthiest, it was never going to last. That's quite a confronting thought. One writer has said, "Here is a history of the grass. It is sown, it is grown, it is mown, and then it is gone. And the history of man, it is not much more." So our bodies won't last forever. The point is that this happens quicker than we would like or even realize. And Moses is telling us that this is not accidental. Neither was death a part of our original nature when God first made us. But death has come about as a result of our sin, which has provoked the anger of the righteous God. And as a consequence, we face death and we die. Something to remember about this psalm is to understand the context, or Moses' experience, if you like. Remember that Moses took the people of God through the wilderness. And during those 40 years of wandering, he saw a whole generation die in the wilderness because of their sin and rebellion against God. And Moses also had to realize that his sin prevented him from entering into the promised land. So Moses lived through 40 years of funerals in the desert. So Psalm 19 is saturated with the griefs of a whole generation who were under God's judgment. Verses 7 to 9. "For we are consumed by your anger, by your wrath we are overwhelmed." Now, wrath, just to clarify, is God's set righteous anger towards sin. It is a constant attitude that he has towards sin. He is so good and so just, he can never just leave sin on its own. He must always be against it. We are consumed by your anger, by your wrath. We are overwhelmed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days pass away under your wrath. Our years come to an end like a sigh. Death is God's final no to our rebellion against him. And just as under God's favor we find life and blessing, under his anger we find death. Now, this is uncomfortable for us to ponder on. We'd rather think about other things or get distracted by something shiny. But the truth is that our time on earth will one day run out. Life is fleeting. It really is. This psalm is saying that as a result of living in a fallen world, and because we have all sinned, we face the reality of death. Verse 10. "The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80, if we are strong. Even then, their span is only toil and trouble, for they are soon gone and we fly away." Many hundreds of years later, the Apostle James writes, "What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Now, all of us need to hear Psalm 90. And what Moses experienced and what he has pondered and reflected upon is to our great benefit. While it is sobering, it reminds us that we do not have an abundance of time, that the time God has given us is an act of his mercy, that he should give us breath and sustain us as he does. But we do need to come to terms that our lives are finite. They do have an end. An older Christian pastor once addressed a group of young people. "Young people, it is appointed for you to die once, and however strong and healthy you may be now, the day of your death is perhaps very near. I see young people sick as well as old. I bury youthful corpses as well as aged. I read the names of persons no older than yourselves in every churchyard. Yet you live as if you were sure at present not to die at all. Young people, your time is short. Your days are but a span long, a shadow, a vapor, a tale that is soon told. Your bodies are not brass, and there is but one step between you and death. This very night your soul may be required of you, for you are fast going the way of all the earth. You will soon be gone. I fear lest the report of many of you in the courts above be that they will not believe. I fear lest you be hurried out of the world and awake to find out, too late, that death and judgment are realities. I fear all this, and therefore I exhort you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." So we need to number our days. Moses' reflection isn't to bring us to despair, it is rather to drive us to pray with him to the Eternal One. Remember, this is a prayer. This isn't just a solemn, hopeless reflection on our days, but it is a prayer. Lord, teach us to number our days. So we don't have a moment of this life to waste. Every day is precious and must be valued and lived before God with great wisdom. The time that remains is valuable because time can never be brought back. Time cannot be replaced. There are lots of things we can lose in this life. My wedding ring, I've lost that a few times, but I found it again, or I've replaced it with another one. But time is not something we can ever recover. Another writer has said, "Would you think about your finances and how most of us budget and count every penny we have? We know what comes in and what comes out. But imagine if it was as common a thing for people to throw away their money, like we so often throw away our time. We'd think they've gone absolutely crazy, wouldn't we? Yet time is exceedingly more precious and necessary than money." So because life is short, we need to pray, "Lord, teach us to number our days." The second reason is because our eternal home awaits. This life is not all there is. We must number our days because life is short, but also because our eternal home awaits. Moses begins this prayer by calling us to get God in perspective, and this is no easy task. Have you ever been traveling and you've gone to a tourist spot and you've tried to capture with your camera or your film or your phone an incredible building that you just stand in awe of? Maybe you've been to Barcelona and you've seen the Sagrada de Familia, which is this monument of a cathedral. And you try and capture a photo, but there's all these tourists in the way. Of course, yeah. But if you stand back, you get onto the road and you can't do that. You try and get as much as you can in the frame, but it still doesn't quite capture how big it is. It's the same when we come to God. If we try and picture God, if we think we have got him in our frame, that we've captured him, so to speak, we have forgotten that he's actually much bigger than anyone or anything we could imagine. And actually, the more we know him, the more we realize how much greater he is. In the Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, and this is, I think, something that is throughout the books, It is as the main characters get to know Aslan, the lion, that Aslan grows in their eyes. At the same time, they realize that if they knew everything there was to know about this Aslan, he'd be overwhelmingly bigger than anything or anyone they could actually comprehend. So Moses, at the beginning of Psalm 90, calls us to gaze at God, to keep looking at him. And as we see him, we recognize the immensity of his character. And the more we gaze, the more we see how much greater he is than we first thought he was. And we do everything we can to grasp something of who he is in anticipation that we will keep learning more of him. And so Moses writes, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Why do we need to number our days? Because eternity awaits. The soul is not at home on this earth, but it is at home with God. Now, it's so easy for us to be caught up in matters of on earth, but Moses says, look to the Lord. He is from everlasting to everlasting. As we realize our days are short and we turn to him in prayer, we realize just how great and good he is. All that has been created will pass away, but not the Creator, whom has invited us to know him and to be with him. And the most spectacular things in our world, such as mountains, Moses says that God simply brings them forth, just like that. It is easy for him to do these incredible things. Even verse 4 picks up on this. "For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night." God is so much bigger than we first imagine he is. Now, the fact that life is temporary changes everything. The things we cherish will pass away, and this ought to drive us to seek him who does not pass away and who promises through his Son eternal life. We need something reliable and enduring, which we won't find on this earth, but we do find that God has come to us to give us what we need. So Moses, in Psalm 90, calls us to number our days, because this life is temporary and because our eternal home awaits, a place with God forever. As we understand this, as we take this on board, it must affect the way in which we live. It must challenge our priorities and the things we spend time doing. Now, we will each be in different situations. There'll be different relationships we have, different responsibilities we have, different resources to our disposal. And so, while there will be similarities amongst us as to how we ought to spend our time, there will also be differences given all of those different factors. If you like, the sermon doesn't end when I stop talking and when we pray Amen. But actually, when you go home and you keep numbering your days and keep reflecting on what has passed and what is to come. So as 2019 comes to a close, I suggest maybe you chew on what you have heard tonight. Take the psalm home, read over it a few times, and the next day and the next. And I might suggest you do three things. You might like to do it between now and next Sunday evening. Ponder, name, and ask the Lord. So ponder. Ponder your fleeting nature. Number your days. Dwell on your mortality. Look to him who you are called to pray to. Take a time to stop and look at God's creation. The Bible tells us it will all pass away. You might like to stop and consider the ant, something we're encouraged to do in Proverbs. Have you ever done that? Have you ever, not just when they come into your kitchen to get food and you don't want them and you find out all these ways to stop them, but consider the ant and how it goes about its work. You might like to gaze at yourself, not to be like Narcissus and get captured by your own beauty, but to gaze at yourself and see how your days are fleeting. There might be grey hair. There might be wrinkles. Let it remind you that things are passing. So ponder. Secondly, as you ponder, what is stirred up in you? What is evoked? Is there a struggle you realize that you have regarding your appearance or regarding your health? Are there things that you delight in, that you are rejoicing about? What are your hopes? What are your fears? Try and name these. Write them down. You might like to write them on, say, the left side of a piece of paper. And then with the next thing, thirdly, ask the Lord something like, Lord, teach me to number my days. I feel frightened about the future because I've been pondering them and I'm scared by the transient nature of my life. What do you have to say to me about this? What word do you have to me as I struggle with my transience? And as you ask him, give him time to answer. There might be a Christian friend you can talk to who may speak a good word to you from the Lord to encourage you. You might be reminded of a promise he has given you that you have remembered. And you go, oh yes, the Lord promises this to his people who trust him. There could be something that just triggers a memory and God speaks to you as he reminds you of his word. And give God time to answer. As you wait, expect him to speak. And there might be some questions that you have that are left open. That's okay. We don't have all the answers to all of our questions. We can, if you like, put them to the side, knowing that one day God will answer them if he deems it fit. We can trust him with that. So ponder, name what is evoked in you as you do, and bring it to the Lord. Lord, what do you have to say to what I have felt, to what I have considered? Let's pray. Almighty God, you are from everlasting to everlasting. And yet here we have a wonderful prayer directed to you by Moses that we are invited to also pray, so that we might number our days. Lord, thank you that you are willing to hear us as we consider our fleeting nature. Remind us also of your eternal nature. Give us the right perspective, we pray. And we ask all this for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen.